You'll find the reading tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10.
You're right.
Okay. Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I am grateful to be a part of this meeting, and I certainly am humbled by the privilege. I do appreciate Brother Stephen Dagenhart, Brother Jamie, and the burden that they carry. And I know that there are those that have labored so hard for this meeting and continue to do it, not only during the meeting, but after it and before it. And we certainly need meetings like this across our country.
Amen.
I do not know how much longer we'll have even to have freedom. But I am grateful for places like this and for every man of God that has stood in this place and opened up the Word of God. Thank you, Brother Leonard, for the message tonight. And we certainly are aware that there are multitudes that are dying without Christ that are in need of His saving grace. I visited the church Robert Mary McShane pastored once in Dundee, Scotland. Robert Mary McShane died at the age of 29, and often when he would come out before his people after he'd been in his vestry, as they call it, his study, his face was so aglow with the light of heaven that people would often break down in tears. One Monday morning, a young man came to him, and Robert Mary McShane asked him what he'd preached on. And he said, "I preached on hell." And Robert Mary McShane said, "Were you able to do it?" With tears. And may God help us to never be able to look into the dark pit without a burden for those that are perishing without Christ. And again, I do thank God for this meeting, for each church that participates in it, for all those who work, labor, park cars, cook, and I just can't imagine all the other things that have done, but God knows, and He keeps the record. But I'm so humbled to even be a part of these services. I do love Calvary Baptist Church. I preached the first message at Central Baptist Church, the second and the third message at Calvary Baptist Church, and I can't remember the fourth place or many in between, but I am grateful for what God has done through this meeting and through this church. Yes. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence to thank you for this day, for the blessings, the mercies of it. Thank you, Lord, for all the preaching that we've heard this week and took place last week. Thank you for stirring up that anointing that you put on your servants. Thank you for the message we just heard for thy servant, for his faithfulness and for his burden for a world that is perishing without Christ. Thank you so much for this meeting. Thank you for every labor of love that has been offered, for everything that has been given. And I pray that you'll multiply it so that every financial need shall be met and every spiritual need. Thank you for this dear man of God, Brother Steve. Thank you for his fellowship throughout all these years, for his faithfulness to you, his love for Christ, his burden for souls. Thank you for Brother Jamie for his help, for his encouragement. And I pray your blessings on him. Bless every church that has a part in this camp meeting. Bless every man of God that is here. I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. Thank you, Lord, for the high and the holy privilege to be a part of your church and to be a part of the bride of Christ, part of the church in this world and the rest in heaven. And we're grateful to be a part of the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And I pray, Lord, tonight that before we leave this place, you will privilege us to sit in the birth room of heaven and hear the cries of newborn babes being born into your family. Thank you for those you saved last night, and those that you have saved even prior to this meeting. Lord Jesus, we commit this service to you, and I pray that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every demonic power, that the Spirit of God should have his way in every heart. Lord, we pray tonight in Jesus' name that your will be done in this hour. In the blessed name of our Redeemer, I humbly pray, amen. It had been my intention to preach from the first 8 or 9 verses of Romans chapter 5, but of course God changed all that. And I feel impressed of God tonight to speak to you about the scope of justification. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Joel chapter 2, verses 28, the Bible, of course, predicting the day of Pentecost, giving the details of Pentecost and also of the great tribulation. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and smoke. A fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And, of course, Acts chapter 2. And Peter says, if this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, of course, obviously on the day of Pentecost, the sun was not darkened and the moon did not turn to blood. But that's going to be a reality someday after the rapture of the church. Revelation chapter 6, and the sun became black as sackcloth of the hair of a woman, and the moon of hair, and the moon became his blood. And the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief men, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens of the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? The day of the Lord will come. As certain as Pentecost happened, the day of the Lord will come. There'll never be another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here to stay until he ushers the bride in the presence of Christ. The coming of the Spirit, or the going of the Lord rather, meant the coming of the Spirit. But the going of the Spirit will mean the coming of the Lord, when he shall lift us up, those of us that are saved, to meet him in the clouds. Now we plead with sinners, knowing the terror of the Lord, and those who try to conceal the justice of God and deny the punishment of sin. It's not because of love, it is unbelief. This dear man of God has poured out his heart and his burden about a crashless eternity tonight because he loves you. This meeting is about people who love you. God's people love you if you're not saved. The only reason that we are saved tonight is because Christ has done a work in our heart. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. We are saved by the fact that if we have looked at the crucified Son of God, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God. There is none else. Salvation is of the Lord. It is the divine work of God's eternal grace. This verse is a wonderful promise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever the terrors of judgment may be, and the gloom of the bottomless pit, we have a glorious message, one of complete deliverance. It is salvation to the Lord, to every sinner that will look to the Lord. Be saved. You cannot save yourselves. There's an outside power, a divine power, and nothing but the mighty power of God can raise you from spiritual death to spiritual life. Some years ago, I was in Florida in a meeting near the Kennedy Space Center, and I watched this shuttle from a distance as it went up into space. Higher and higher it went. And what an amazing thing, all the power and all the fuel that's required to get that space shuttle in orbit. But I want to tell you, all that power was absolutely nothing compared to the mighty power of God. It raised me from spiritual death to spiritual life. And you have been quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead, and all we could do was look to him. Now, we're not saved because the Lord did 99 3/4% of the work, and we did 1/4. It is all of Him. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Call whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 9:33 says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Those who refuse God's salvation will be brought to the judgment in shame, and their sins will march before them one by one. We who are saved need not hang our head in shame. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Judgment is coming for the unsaved. But for those who call on the name of the Lord, there is no condemnation. The unsaved are condemned. They stand condemned. They are judged. They will be ashamed. And the issues of eternity, as we've just heard, are settled in this world. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no stopover. Where the soul leaves this world, it is either in hell or in heaven. There's no stopover. And a time of preparation, when the iron door of a gate of death is shut, it is forever. I can't imagine what it will be for a lost person when the gate of death is closed forever and forever. No entrance back into this world. When the voices of friends and loved ones grow faint and the lights are growing dim, and you go down the cool waters of death all alone, and the door is shut forever and forever and forever. You're in eternity, and there you will meet God. The issues of eternity are settled in this world. But on the other hand, for a Christian, it will be glorious. I believe that by faith. I've seen many die in the faith, as we've heard about this week, who had peace and joy in their heart. Was it in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? Wasn't it faith when he started down to the river of death, and faith touched down in the cool river of death and said to Christian, it's all right, I feel the bottom. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are those who refuse to bow to Him in grateful praise, will not bow to God. But there will come a day when they shall be separated from God forever. The source of the promise. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon Him. The source is inexhaustible. God, who is rich in mercy and grace, distributes and dispenses salvation without distinction. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. There's no difference between men that are wealthy, men that are poor, men that are intelligent, people that are not so intelligent. There's no difference. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, young, old, middle age, old age, whatever age, no matter how deep the darkness of sin you may have gone in. And He not only saves those who've gone to the bottom of the miry clay, He even saves those that have that good, oozy feeling religion. But yet Christ is not a reality in their heart. Now those people that are unsaved with just religion, most of the time they feel pretty good about themselves. But we that are saved know we are what we are by the grace of God. Don't ever forget where God found you. Don't ever forget that you are what you are, because whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All men are alike in God's sight. And the free offer of salvation is based on the fact that Jesus, God has made Jesus Lord of all, and highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And one day every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved. Paul wants all men to know that salvation throughout all centuries, both before and since the time of Christ, has been through faith in God's Son and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Every smoking Jewish altar was only a picture of that moment when God's Son would go to Calvary and bear our sin in his own body. I want to tell you that richer and nobler blood has flowed from Emmanuel's veins than in his smoking Jewish altar. And if there is a fountain filled with that blood, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. What think you of Christ is still the question that you must answer. Colossians 1, 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, the heaven and earth. Whether it be thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things were created by him and is before all things. And by him all things consist. Christ is the author of salvation. The Lord Jesus, who robed himself with the universe, who sandaled his feet with the stars, came down the stairs at Bethlehem's barn, incarnated immaculately in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, he who is before all things and by him all things consist. And yet he wore the peasant's robe, and the same hand that flung the stars out into space is the same hands that worked in the carpenter shop. And the same hands that were nailed to the cross. It is that name that is above every name. By looking at that name, that can save you. There's not a preacher, there's not a priest on earth who can save you. Only Jesus. The simplicity of this promise. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the broadest possible invitation. Whosoever, out of every class, out of every culture, or intellect, or low or high, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Young, the old, educated, uneducated, the moral, the immoral, whoever, the famous, the infamous, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 8, the word is nigh thee, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. From Greenland's icy mountains to the ivory coast of Africa, from the blazing sun of India to the white beaches of the South Pacific, every soul that looks to Jesus Christ may a pardon receive. It does not matter red, yellow, black, or white. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That eunuch said to Philip, the preacher that day, of whom speaketh this man? Of himself or somebody else? That's a good thing when a sinner wants to hear about Jesus. And Philip opened his mouth and opened the scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. That's always good preaching. I don't care what our message is. It should always end at the foot of the cross. It should always end with Jesus. For
from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. It is blood, blood, blood. Jesus' blood. Nothing more, nothing less. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's two things you must know before you cry to the Lord. Number one, that you're a sinner, and He's the only Savior. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the simplest possible supplication. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The justified man runs to it and is safe. We're dealing with the name of the one whom God hath appointed to be judge of the world. The wonder of that name, the wonder of His carnation and His death and His resurrection. We believe on Him that was delivered for our offenses, who's raised again for our justification. And we know that we are what we are by the finished work of the Son of God. And what a wonderful name that is. And I really believe if a person is really under deep conviction, has seen themselves as a sinner, and looks to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. Well, Steve, I don't believe you can pray the wrong prayer. As a matter of fact, it's not the words you say anyhow. If you held a gun on me tonight, I could not tell you what I prayed the night I was saved. But I knew two things. I was the sinner, and He's the only Savior. And when I went home that night, I not only knew I was saved from hell, but I had Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He lives in me. He walks with me. He talks with me. As all of us have had many experiences. Bright's disease, the age of 11, the hospital, 58 days. I didn't think I would live, but I did. Amen. Car accident, 4 weeks in hospital in Greenville, and many other experiences. And God has brought me safely through it all. And I do know this, that what God did in my heart the night He saved me is a reality. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I remember Brother Jamie lying in the Greenville Hospital. I think I was 21 years old. I couldn't move. The thigh bone was broken. A pin from here all the way to my knee. And arm broken. Face all messed up. And I had to lie flat on my back. And every move almost made me want to scream. But I remember one night laying there. And that big scar all the way down. And the arm was hurting so bad. And Brother Curtis, I thought about my Lord who hung on the cross, who suffered without anything to ease His pain. But He kept on suffering. And He kept on dying. And He kept on bleeding until He cried, "It is finished," so that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Done in a moment. Wondered at it eternity. Did you know that if some drunkard went into a rescue mission tonight, and the Lord was pleased to save him by grace, that he would have the same peace in his heart that I now enjoy? He might have a bad headache, but if he's called on the name of the Lord and the work of God has taken place in his heart, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when a soul comes to realize that he ought to be in hell, that he would be in hell, except for the grace of God and the fact that Christ died for our sins and that everyone that looks to Him may be saved. I read once about a Russian general whose name was Spargan. He was a general during the days of Catherine the Great of Russia. And because of some crime he'd been accused of, he'd been in jail for nearly a year. When he appeared before the judge, that general knew that the judge was going to pronounce him guilty and that the penalty would be death by hanging. And he was so overcome by that, that before the judge could ever give the verdict, he died with a heart attack. But the verdict of the judge was to be not guilty. You're free. The Lord Jesus has paid the debt. It's yours. Look into Him. He will save you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The broadest possible condition. Whoever shall look to the name of the Lord. I probably told you this before. I visited the 6th Mount Zion Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia once. That was the church where the preacher John Jasper lived, or pastored. John Jasper was born a slave. After the Civil War, of course, he was freed. And God called him to be a Baptist preacher. And he pastored 6th Mount Zion Baptist Church that's still there. But John Jasper, talking about his conversion, said, I was working at a tobacco warehouse. And there was a certain lady up the line I knew that had been praying for me. Amen. And he said, the Lord saved me. And I wanted to tell that woman that had prayed for me so long that the Lord had saved me. Amen. And he said, I knew that just as soon as I told her, her holding back straps would break. And she'd go to praising God and no telling what had happened. But he said, after a while, I couldn't help it. I just eased up beside her and said, oh, John Jasper done got born again. And he said, sure enough, her holding back straps broke. And she went to praising God and the whole warehouse got in an uproar. And the foreman came out and said, what's wrong? What's going on out here? And somebody shouted out of the crowd, oh, John Jasper done got religion. He been born again. And Jasper said to the foreman of the place, Mr. Sam, I didn't mean to cause no trouble. The Lord saved me. And I tried to keep them holding back straps broke. But they done broke and I can't help but praise Him. If the Lord has saved you, there's a note of praise and gratitude in your heart to God forever. That's the reason we cut up and carry on like we do. We've been pardoned. We've been set free. We've looked to the Lamb of God. We didn't look to the Baptist. We didn't look to some preacher. We've looked unto Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Jordan, would it be all right if we come sing some number? I still believe that God is speaking to hearts and calling sinners. Now, conviction, you don't just make it happen. God has to send it. And I hope you know that God has sent conviction this week and last week, I'm sure. And He sent delivering power. Thank God for those two He saved last night. Did you know that one soul's worth more than the whole world? It's worth all the labor, the sacrifice, the battles that you have to fight the devil for one, just one. But it pleased God to save two of them. And I think there are more tonight that the Lord would save and will save if you will look to Him. That little girl, I believe she's 10 years old. I don't know if she's here tonight. But she came up to me this morning She had a glow on her face and still tears and said, "Will you sign my Bible?" What an honor to sign that little girl's Bible. I'm glad Jesus loves sinners. I don't care if you're young or old. I don't care how long you've been in sin or how deep you've gone. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. On the authority of this blessed book, if you will look to Christ, He will save you. He will save you now. Right now. While we stand, Brother Jordan leads us in a song. 300.